My name is Amir Abdullah. I represent Mr. Kaczynski in his petition for review concerning his application for asylum, withholding of deportation, and relief under the Convention Against Torture. Your Honor, the petitioner in this case has applied for relief pursuant to Section 208 and 243B of the Act, asking for withholding of removal and relief under the Torture Convention. He has presented documentary evidence in support of his case. He also testified in court and was found by the judge to be credible, and his statements were consistent with his pre-hearing statement. At the end of the hearing, the judge found out that his past persecution, his harm that he received does not rise to the level of persecution. The petitioner in this case was twice beaten and received injuries and required hospitalization because of his political beliefs. Furthermore, petitioner was fired from his job after he was warned by his superior that if he doesn't support their rival, their candidate, that he will be fired, even though they claim that he was fired because of his absenteeism. He has called from the hospital stating that he is being hospitalized and he should be back, returning back to work. The judge denied his application for relief under the Torture Convention, even though he received summons from the government to come in to be questioned about his activities in the past election. The other thing is that he has been threatened, him and his family. And all this, the judge said that without more, his harm was not enough to rise to the level of persecution. Based on that, Your Honor, we believe that the judge erred in denying his application for relief.
Whether the agency erred is, of course, not our decision. The relevant question is whether there was substantial evidence to support the decision.
Yes, Your Honor.
What your brief and argument do is just re-argue your point of view. Why, in your submission, is there a lack of substantial evidence?
There was no lack of substantial evidence, Your Honor. The evidence submitted, acknowledged by the judge, to be corroborating his statement in court and his testimony. And
but the big problem the court had, I mean, the administrative law judge had, was, I mean, the IJ had, was he couldn't identify the attacker, because the first time he was attacked, he went to the police. They did an investigation. He couldn't identify the people. The investigation closed. The second time, he didn't even go to the police. He never found out who the people were who had beaten him up. And he didn't know who the people were who called him either. So it's hard for you to show, so you don't have state actors, and you can't show that the state wouldn't have, you know, investigated or protected him in some way, because the state didn't even know who to protect him against.
Thank you, Your Honor. The first attack occurred at the time he was in a small town and demonstrating for the candidate he was supporting under the fatherland. And it was a small town, 50 people only. And he was, while the attackers, you know, were attacking him, beating him, they told him he should not come to this town and support their rival. This is basically that's what happened. And the second time, the same thing happened. That those people warned him, that they told him, we warned you before not to come and support this candidate. And even though that he could not identify the people who attacked him because it was dark or what have you, but still there is potential for being beaten if he goes back. And the second thing is that the government has issued a summons for him to come in to in order to question him about actions that he did in the election. And he fears that because of the, you know, the country report shows that the police and the authorities, you know, are you know, having abuse. And he's afraid that if he goes back, that he will be tortured because of that.
Well, counsel, if you have nothing further, you're free to reserve your remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Insegna.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Andrew Insegna for the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. After full and fair hearing, the agency determined petitioner failed to demonstrate his eligibility for asylum and related protection.
Didn't understand the immigration judge's statement that what happened to him was not persecution. I mean, it was not sufficient injury, that if there were, you know, the government involvement and so on, it was based on his political views, it would be persecution. He gets a concussion, a kidney injury, and he's hospitalized for a week. Why wouldn't that be enough physical harm to satisfy requirements of finding persecution?
Well, first, Your Honor, the question before this Court is not whether it does. The question is whether the record compels the conclusion that it does. That is this Court's standard of view, and I think it bears some emphasis.
No, but the question is, what sense could it make for someone to say, oh, well, he just had a concussion, he just had a bruised kidney, he was just in a hospital for a week? What's the big deal? You think that makes any sense?
Can they
defend that?
Your Honor, to the extent that the Board of Immigration Appeals affirmed that determination, it is supported by substantial evidence in the record.
I don't understand you. I don't understand how that kind of physical damage cannot satisfy finding persecution. If the other elements of persecution, government involvement, motive, and so on, were satisfied.
Your Honor, there's no definitive answer of what persecution necessarily entails. This Court and the agency
have... common sense, right?
Common sense. It involves statutory...
Put a person in a hospital for a week, you've conveyed a pretty strong message. You don't like this person.
The issue is not whether you've conveyed a message, Your Honor. The issue is whether it rises to the level of persecution. And in this Court's...
Right, well, what is the standard that should be applied? Or what is the standard the Board does apply?
It's an incredibly...
Has the Board ever tried to define persecution?
There's no definitive analysis of what does persecution mean, Your Honor. It's a very squishy, factual...
Why is that the Board's business?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Why doesn't the Board try to do that?
Your Honor, it has interpreted the word persecution in various published decisions. This Court has, well, finding a variety of acts that have not compelled the conclusion that...
But do they compose a rational whole, the acts that are found to be persecution and the acts that are found to be... Do they make sense? You have that paragraph in the immigration judge's opinion, which he says, in this case we found persecution, in the other case we didn't find persecution. You lose a tooth, that's persecution. If you're just deprived of food, that is the persecution.
There's no beautiful analysis to ever be done.
I think what Judge Posner is asking is whether there is any immigration equivalent of the grid in Social Security disability law, which tries to define disability.
Your Honor, I'm not familiar with that aspect of law, but I says there, no. The answer is no, there's not.
We've actually suggested in some previous cases that the immigration agency might try to learn from the experience of the disability agency, because you've got another open-ended term like disability, which comes in a lot of different guises. And the Social Security Administration has made a serious effort to define it. And the grid is now, you know, may exceed 100 pages. Maybe it's even longer than that, with supplementary opinions and regulations and opinion letters. And it's something of a puzzle why the immigration agency hasn't tried to learn from the experience of other agencies.
Well, Your Honor, I suspect it's seeing these decisions, but I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, that 100 pages of grids are going to make this analysis any easier. At the end of the day, these are very fact-intensive cases. Was someone knocked unconscious?
Was somebody is disabled is fact-intensive.
Sure.
You know, we've got it's actually very interesting to watch this progress. We've got some agencies, like the National Labor Relations Board, that steadfastly refuse to define anything. And unfair labor practices come and go with the political climate. We have other agencies, like the Social Security Administration, that have tried to regularize everything. The board doesn't seem to have made a conscious choice about which one it would like to be.
Well, Your Honor, as the agency entrusted by Congress to make these interpretations...
It isn't entrusted by Congress. It was created by the Attorney General. The Attorney General is entrusted by Congress to make these decisions.
Well, be that as may, Your Honor, the Attorney General is definitively entrusted, and he delegated that authority to the board. So whether there's delegation or not, at the end of the day, this is the agency's...
How do you deal with this case? Suppose the Ukrainian police went to a person and they say, you're an Armenian. We don't like Armenians. So we're going to beat you up. And they cause a concussion and they bruise a kidney and he has to spend a week in a hospital. And you'd say that if he applied for, you know, asylum in the United States, he couldn't show past persecution.
Your Honor, it's not whether I or the Department of Justice make that determination. It would be up to the Board of Immigration Appeals and the immigration judge to look at the facts.
The Department of Justice owns the Board of Immigration Appeals and the Immigration Court. It's part of the Justice Department.
It's a sub-agency within the department, yes, Your Honor.
Well, doesn't the Justice Department take responsibility for its constituent agencies?
Your Honor, I can't answer
hypotheticals. Well, you can answer that, I'm sure. That the Justice Department is responsible for employees do, right?
Your Honor,
goofy decisions by immigration judges.
Well, Your Honor, this simply...
But you think it would be perfectly proper for an immigration, in my hypothetical case, immigration judges say, well, you know, it's unfortunate they discriminate against Armenians and beat people up, but it's not persecution.
Your Honor, I can't answer that question because that determination would have to be made in the first instance by an immigration judge.
What's your personal opinion? Suppose you were an immigration judge.
Your Honor, I'm not here to present my personal opinion.
I'm asking you.
Your Honor, I can't answer that question on a hypothetical that could potentially happen.
Of course, I'm asking you a hypothetical question. Suppose you were an immigration judge. Would you say not persecution?
I can't answer that question, Your Honor. Mm.
This
court's case law makes
clear. Why can't you answer it? Would you explain that to me?
Because that determination would have to be made by the immigration judge
in
the first instance.
I know, but I'm asking you a hypothetical
You've just
question.
Been appointed, hypothetically, as an immigration judge. It's now part of your portfolio to answer questions like this.
You know,
if you get appointed as an immigration judge, you're going to spend your life saying, oh, I can't answer questions like that.
Your Honor, if you'd like me to answer what is essentially
an academic... Because you feel absurd.
No, Your Honor.
Right?
What I can't...
You either say it's no persecution, we'd laugh at you and think you're an idiot, or you say it's persecution and you're contradicting an immigration judge.
No, Your Honor. There is no answer because that is not this case. Here,
look,
I think it needs to be emphasized.
Don't you understand that if a judge asks a hypothetical question, it's not a question about the case. Mm-hmm. It's a hypothetical situation. Might have bearing on the case, but it's not the case. So is it your routine practice, if you're asked a hypothetical question, you refuse to answer on the ground it's not the case?
You know, it's not an attempt to hide from the question. It is essentially, it's an academic point because I can't answer... Because we don't have grids.
That would be true of any hypothetical question, right? It would be academic.
It depends on the situation. If you're, I'll happily answer a question, which is, The answer is yes. It would be no persecution because all you've told me is he was beaten. So now we're left interpreting what does beaten mean. And to bring it back to this case, Your Honor.
Well, you know, to bring it back to this case, 7 days in the hospital, kidney, all these other things, it just doesn't make sense that that's not persecution. That's one part of what we have to look at. Then you agree, right? That's one thing we have to look at. And just looking at his injuries and everything, just his injuries and what happened, you agree that could be persecution. That's a different question than whether or not who perpetrated it on him. You know, whether it was the state or whether the state didn't protect him. You know, that's a separate issue. You get that, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So what Judge Posner is trying to get at is the attack on him, and that was a serious attack. That was...
Your Honor,
why that wouldn't be persecution in itself, just, you know, without looking at the other elements. And when you look at the other cases that we have, and we look at the seriousness of what happened here.
Your Honor, the precedent is clear that this is a fact-intensive requirement. We have, in Zhu, one beating with stitches, not compelling persecution. We have several interrogations, extortion,
and
beating.
And because it's factually intensive, then why can't we look intensely at these facts and decide that these facts might be persecution? I mean, that's what the whole point is. That's the whole reason it's loosey-goosey, right? The whole standard is loosey-goosey. And so, therefore, you can look at a variety of things in various cases, depending on the facts, could qualify.
But to be clear, Your Honor, even if this court were to find the record compelled to conclude that it was past persecution, petitioner is simply not eligible for asylum, withholding, or protection under the CAT. Because of his failure to brief issues before this court, and also because of his failure to meet burden of proof on several issues which we have not discussed. So, unless the court has any further questions, we would ask the court to dismiss and deny in part. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Abdallah?
Yes, Your Honor, please. Your Honor, we believe that based on the injuries that the petitioner has sustained, and the hospitalization, the judge should have found that he has suffered past persecution. And if she reaches that conclusion, then he is entitled to the presumption of future persecution. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.